The reason why I was just looking through my saved Western Digital hard disk, how we started like our prayer retreat, only had like three workers together, my family, and then 10 years later, Brother Jacob. Of course, some of them are not members, they're visitors, but you know, I can only thank God. When we keep things in perspective, yeah, we have trials and temptations, you know. God actually took something from something small and made it big. Okay? And I just wanna, and these few photos kind of brings to mind, and usually I don't do this, but I think it's important. Just want to remember some of the people. Okay, this one I heard. I think one of the things as pastor, I do have the opportunity to minister. And certainly a lot of people, God allowed me to touch. But I want to say also that without the church, I can't do it. God actually put all of us together. So if I just want to go down the list, actually, for the children's ministry, I think my wife started, of course, and Sister Isabella. You saw her at the first prayer retreat. She's still here. I want to thank God for that faithfulness. And all through the years, later on, Sister Felicia and Brother Chai Hing, who's not here, he's sick. Brother Chai Hing didn't like children. Do you remember his testimony? His first time he said, "I don't like children." But then later on, God changed his heart. He wanted 5, I think. So I think he had to work hard. All right? But thank God for, then of course, Sister Felicia's. Then after Sister Annalyn came on as one of the children's ministry workers as well. And then of course, Jeremiah also joined the team. So there's 4 of them. I thank God for them, the children's ministry, and devoted to teaching the children the Word of God. I just want to thank God for them. Of course, the Filipino ministry, the next one is Brother Robert, of course, started that. And God actually grew ambassador twofold because of the Filipinos that came. All right, Brother Robert then started, of course, the ministry. Then after Brother June, God brought Brother June in to support that and help. Then, Star Son, the wife, supported them. I thank God for them. I thank God for their ministry. Sometimes after church, we just, bye-bye, we go home, and they will stay back, but they continue to have that ministry among the Filipinos. I thank God for that. Of course, then the Chinese ministry started way back. Ra Te Leong started that. Then after that, Ra Ping Kwang actually helped. Not just help, he was actually actively serving, doing a lot, helping as well. That's how when Brother Edward talked about the Chinese ministry, I'm thankful. It's not only just Brother Edward, but Brother Ping Kwang, Brother Tay Long have done translations. Sometimes at the spur of the moment, of course, there were some Chinese folks who came in and they were just there to serve. So I thank God for them. Okay, without them, some of the Chinese folks would not be able to hear the Word of God. So I thank God for that. Of course, there's Sister Maria helping that as well. Then, of course, for the media, Brother Tim, who's not here today, we have quite a number of visitors who came through the media. All right, we don't see him doing behind the scenes. Okay, but you know, things get out and people hear, and he has things archived for many, many years. All right, and he's behind the scenes. Of course, then Edward, Jacob, Sister Shaoling also supported the effort with the audio, and the visuals, and all that. Thank God for the media. Although they are behind the scenes, they did a lot of work. Okay, that many of us don't even know. Okay, the typing in, the making sure that it's... Of course, when something goes wrong, one letter A not there, all look... Or it's something that we have to... We need to be thankful for these people who do that. Okay? Of course, then we also have the people who play the piano. Okay, sometimes we take them for granted. Okay? Brother Tim, then after Gail, and now Joanna, and then later on will be Joseph. Okay, Ethan, I asked Ethan, so he haven't given me a reply yet. Oh, you know, we thank God for those people who enrich our service by their service. And sometimes, many times, we just kind of take it for granted, right? And as pastor, I notice all these things. I want to say thank you. And how would you like to come to church, dirty? I thank God for all the cleaning groups. I thank God for the cleaning groups who... When there's no one here, they are here to make sure things are in place. Make sure the toilet paper is there. Make sure it's smelling nice, you know. Make sure all the cockroaches are killed and thrown out, you know. All the rubbish is thrown out. We thank God for that. The four groups who take turns to make sure that we have a proper worship environment on Sundays. Okay, once again, people who work behind the scenes, we oftentimes don't see them. You know, those things that they make sure is there, Rob and Constance, Maria, make sure that things are there. We thank God for that. All right, it's a big thing. Okay? You know, one thing that... let me keep going first. Song leading, I thank God for Brother Robert. He's coming back, so please... soon. I think of Brother Gideon, who took up the challenge. Is he still there? Yeah, Brother Gideon still there? Oh, he went back already. Do pray, alright? He's here alone, you notice, because his whole family is sick. Alright? So, I thank God for Brother Gideon, who has been... He told me in my interaction with him, he always gets stage fright, right? Even when he's presenting his... His presentation to his boss, he always gets stage fright. And for him to lead songs, right? And just... you know, in Christmas, you know, he just... But thank God that he's willing to still put himself in the place for God's service, you know. Thank God for the song leaders, of course, those people who come along the way. It used to be youth ministry has always been maintenance mode by me. Just maintain, that's all I can do. I thank God for Brother Desmond, Sister Jamie, and then Brother Jacob coming on to be part and parcel of the ministry and really enrich that with the youth camps and stuff like that. And the youth really grew. And you know what? There's one thing that's very encouraging for me as a pastor, that we thank God for the word that was taught. They remembered the word. So, Brother Desmond, keep it up. Brother Jacob, keep it up. They've been teaching the word. They remember they studied Joshua. And Joshua says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." And they give thanks because of the word. And that's encouraging. We ambassador continue to be like that. That we love God and we realize it was God's word. That, hey, there are many issues that they discuss during the youth, you know. And there's always that push to remember what God said. And they try to live that life. So I'm thankful for that. Thankful to the people who stand by that. I want to thank God for the men who have stood up to preach. I have SMS some of them. I learned a lot from your preaching. While Gorolong's observation is true, you know, we do have a lot of spiritually mature men. And thank God for that. Because it shows that we are all growing. You know, I think it's a useful exercise, and I'm going to plan that for a year, that men will be given opportunities growing them, and that there's a lot of perspective based on scripture they can share. And I learned a lot from his Maasai, you know what? Maasai tribe. Yeah, for Brother Denzel talking about the book he read and how we need to be able to discriminate. You know, there are a lot of books outside that seem very spiritual, but you know, you have to read and compare them with scripture. Brother June's message on dealing with sin, that was really, it touched my heart because it really makes it so glaringly clear why did God bless Judah the worst? Because he confessed his sin. Whereas the other two, yeah, he did small minor infractions, but God didn't bless, they had no blessings for them. I remember Brother Taylor talking about time. Remember the shortness of time? Remember? I learned. You know, as pastor, I learned, and I really thank God for the refreshment, even for the Sunday at Bible Hour when Brother Desmond taught about Brother Taylor. Learning a lot even for myself. I thank God for the tracking groups. Despite their tiredness, I know those with families will just come on, let's go, you know, and their whole family go tracking. And you know, I think one of the things I realize is God is still bringing people through tracking. You know, the Bernice and who? Bernice and Brian was our contact in 2011, and they came for the BBS and they came for Sunday school and we're going to follow up on them. There are many people who call because of tracting. They remember a small little booklet that we give. That can be the difference between life and death. You know, treat tracting as fishing. You know, we spread out the net. God says we need to go to gather the people. And I thank God for those people who, week after week, without fail. You know what God's going to say? Well done. They may not do... I wouldn't say they will not do much. It's a lot of sacrifice just to get out there after your work. Tired, sometimes raining. You know, I see one of the Thank God, of course, all of us, I thank God for. But you know, sometimes really is, can you imagine, it's raining, it's pouring, and you're driving or tracking, and then you got to take children along the way just to be there. I thank God for that. I'm thankful. Correspondent calls, which basically no one really talks about. You know, a lot of children are growing because of the correspondent courses, I hope, and I believe so. The ushers, they make sure that things are going well, the offering bags, they pray. And I'm sure there are many other things I can thank God for, but I just want to go down this list because I want to tell you I love you all as a pastor. I love you all. There is no ministry without the church. The pastor cannot do it yourself. If Brother Denzel, Brother Joshua, even driving the van, if no van out, no children in, stop. Okay, of course, right now we're thinking of more. It's a good thing we're thinking of buses, because if there's more children, then, you know, Sister Shaolin, make sure she calls. I know, Auntie, you make sure you thank God for Auntie Jenna, because, and Sister Maria, they buy the coffee that you drink. How many of you would think about who bought the coffee? Small things. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, the comely members, people like pastor and maybe deacon to preach, we're all open. That's fine. But you know, it could be those people who do the back work may get more blessings from God and rewards from God because they were willing to faithfully, without fail, on a regular basis, keep things going. Thank God for that. If you need to take care of children, you ask Auntie Janet. She has all kinds of ways and means to take care of children. Okay, thank God for her. Okay? And of course, there are many others as well who have done the small things. And thank God. Of course, I need to thank God for my family. Without them, only they can put up with me.
Really, sometimes we have our moments.
But God is good. I want to thank God for that. There's one more thing that just slipped my mind. There's so many things. I just want to say that being pastor for 10 years, my calling is an evangelist. But I believe God said, you, pastor, because I want to teach you a lot of things. And God is still teaching me. And I've learned so much over the 10 years, and I'm praying that God will teach me more. And I really thank God for Ambassador. It's helped me grow. A lot of friends. Yes. I want to say, I seldom say it. I do say it. I thank God for everyone who privately give in support of my family. There are some people who give so much. I don't say that, but people who give privately financially, they give in terms of kind, they give in terms of love. And I know the whole church gives in terms of prayer. I don't have to even say that. But you know that the thing that people give, even though there's no need to, why? So should they give? But you know what? Because I believe that, I personally believe you give because that person firstly is in your mind. Secondly, you care enough to give. So I'm thankful for that. So I just want to start off that because I'm thankful for the 10 years of ministry. I'm thankful for the men that God has brought to Ambassador. Thank you for the families. Thank you for the children. Thank God for the people who has been through thick and thin. You know, as I look at the first watch night, to this day, those people who are members, 90% stay. 90%, 10 years. They're willing to wait year after year, week after week, just do because they know they're serving the Lord. And I think the biggest thankfulness that I have is the change that God has brought into people's lives because of all of us in some way. And I believe God continues to want to do that. We have at least 3 people who want to be baptized. And because they have been coming for, not just 1 or 2, they have been coming for months and they observe and said, no, this is plain. I want my spiritual roots to be. Brother Henry is one. God has brought him into our midst. There's another one, Mrs. Tay. We need to pray for her as well. She approached me last Sunday. Pastor, I want to be baptized. And pray for me because I need to work with them on her beliefs and stuff like that, but it's a good step. And I thank God for that. You know, when did Mrs. Tay come? I think, 6 months ago? 8 months ago? quite some time, you know, but Mr. Tay said, I cannot hear, but I must come to church on Christmas Day. And he's not safe. And I believe very much those people who will speak to them, you know, I think those people who are at the back who speak to Brother Tay, Mr. Tay, and he has a friendship here. And through that, hopefully, I asked him last Sunday about, well, are you ready to trust Christ? I met up with him 6 months ago, had coffee with him, and shared the gospel with him, and he said, no, Pastor, I'm not ready. I asked him again after the evangelistic meeting after Sunday, said, are you ready to trust Christ? After Brother Desmond's message, he's not ready. But keep praying for him. But he's coming, he wants to come, and that... Our goal is for non-believers to want the message of Christ because he found a congregation who loves God and loves him. And I thank God for every one of you. And then, of course, we have Brother Maloney. Brother Maloney, I think, was saved in Jalan Telopo. But he's come a long way to want to be baptized now, you know. There are many things in his life. And I'm sharing all this because I want to bring across one very strong point. I thank God for ambassadors as a whole because... Everyone who does something because they love God adds to what God wants to do in ambassador. Does that make sense? When God adds you to ambassador, there was a reason. And if you're not there, something is missing. Amen? If just one part of your body hurts, you know something is wrong. I just want to start by thanking God for all of you. You know, I wanted to say, I'm going to break tradition and give you all a clap. Of course, one of the things we don't clap, we'll sing only because we don't give praise. But no, I thank God for all of you. And I thank God because for you to be here, to give of your offering, and we take the position that your offering is between you and God. Pastor, don't get involved. Between you and God, we don't declare to the government. Why? Because you give because you love God. And I mentioned on Friday night, last Friday, that I want our church to be a giving church because Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. It makes sense for us to be a giving church. Now, when you see all the food and with leftovers, I thank God for all of you because you gave. You gave because you love God. As pastor, I can never give back, but Jesus will. I told God one thing as I shared this. Say, God, promise me that you will not take away their rewards because I mentioned them by name. I don't think it's a problem. The Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thee thyself. So I want to thank God for every one of you, honestly. I don't think I say it enough, but as pastor, I want to say I thank you. I thank God because some of you are quietly talking to people about Jesus Christ. Some of you are quietly doing things I don't even know about. But can I say this? As an occupational therapist, I tend to observe a lot more. Because I'm supposed to observe for all the different problems. But I thank God for the opportunity because when I look at everyone has done something, even the youth. Everyone has done something for Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that. You know, I keep on harping on the fact, children, listen to your parents. You know why? Because your parents love God. They're not perfect, just like me. I'm not perfect. But you know what? If your parents are trying to live for Jesus Christ, you have a great set of parents. Amen? If parents want to live for Jesus Christ, if your Sunday school teachers want to live for Jesus Christ, the Sunday school teachers then follow the example. Right? There are many things that I want to say, but I think I better go into the message. Otherwise, you'll be here until... But anyway, we're here till midnight, right? So, okay. But I want to just pour my heart as pastor. My heart is still for the many lost souls. This will never change. If we ever change in our heart for souls and ambassador, we are going down the wrong track. If we turn ourselves into a social club that we will only come and feel good, we have changed God's purpose. But I'm not saying that we don't take care of one another. The local church is for that purpose. Remember the early church in Acts chapter 2? No one had any need. The Bible says why? Because they had everything in common. The food was shared. I know of people who, when I had to recce for campsite, would loan me their vehicles. People would support me in different ways. You know, I do God's work quietly. Some of you don't even know that. But I'm thankful for that. And so, I want to I can keep going, but I better go to my message. The message today is running the race in 2014 and onwards. Now I challenge you with some racing strategies. Because as Christians, many Christians are dropping out of the race. Many Christians are dropping out of the race for whatever reasons. Let's stand, all right, as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Okay, you can shut this off already, otherwise you'll get distracted. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. I just want to highlight five things from there, but let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, running the race in 2014 and onwards. Now, I hope you pay attention to this because I think Paul gives us very important strategies. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. I'll read verse 24, you read verse 25, and so on until we finish at verse number 27. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Verse 25. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Verse 27, together, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself be cast away. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I pray this message will touch everyone's heart with regards how we need to put our Christian life as a priority. Because, Lord, when after all that is said and done, after our life is finished, the only thing that matters is our relationship with you and what we have done in that relationship that will grow, that will bring others to you, that will bring you glory. I pray you open our eyes to your word and speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, as a Christian, our Christian lives are likened to two situations that happen in this life. One is that we are in a warfare. Do you agree? As a Christian, we're all in a Christian warfare. All right? The moment you become a Christian, you're in a Christian warfare. You know, one of the things I heard from the sharings of all the people, experiences are all different, but there's one thing. They struggle in their faith in Jesus Christ. Christians, if you don't struggle in your faith in Jesus Christ, you know, without stress, there is no growth. Without stress, there is no growth. And so when Sister Ma shared about how the typhoon is going to affect all her loved ones, she broke down and she had to cry out to God and she had to make a decision. I'm going to trust God because there's nothing I can do. All right, when Jeremiah talks about how he thinks he's so great and God had to break him in certain areas of his life and say, well, you better depend on me, otherwise you cannot do what I want you to do. How Brother Edward talked about how formerly he was like this, but the many things that happened in his life that taught him that the struggle, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? Run up and down, up and down, up and down. The only people that's making money, benefiting is the bus company. He has to pay money and MRT and all that. Is it worth it? Is it worth it for you to rush after work to go for tracking? Is it worth it? Well, sometimes you just feel, what in the world am I doing this for? For Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is worth it. But you know what? It just so happened, perhaps God just wanted me to speak that word to him because he was... As I was driving here on the second last day, I said, is it worth it for me to run up and down? Someone just said, thank God for Edward. You know, he has a rush to school, but still he comes. And just at that time, I said, why should I rush up and down? Is it worth it? Yes, it is. Because you can be the best Christian, someone else is watching. May not be the pastor, maybe. In this situation, was Brother Edward. Some young believer was saying, you know, I thank God for Brother Edward because he was running. You know, I thank God for all of you. And I'm sure some of the younger children are looking up to you, older ones, and say, thank God for so-and-so who drive or who do things without being asked for the glory of God. Is it worth it? Definitely it is worth it. We are in a spiritual warfare. Sometimes we struggle and are discouraged. How can I say this? Always make the decision to seek ye first God's kingdom. And the second situation, first is a warfare, second one is we are all in a race. This race is called the race of life. Now I'd like to, at the end of this year, give you some running strategies based on the Bible, that in 2014 you will still be in a race to 2015 and so on. I need to tell you one thing, in order to be in the race, the first thing you need to do, what's the first thing you need to do to be a race? What's the first thing? You need to run. You need to register for the race. Now, if you want to run the Christian race of life, you need to be a Christian. You need to trust God. Can I say this? Anything other than the Christian life is a worthless life. I say that with all conviction. Oh, yeah, they may be able to be good medical doctors as non-Christian. They can save lives, fine. And I think that is profitable, but please don't misunderstand. Ultimately, our lives in the light of... We may have done good in this life. No, I think of Lee Kuan Yew. He did a lot for Singapore. He had to take tough decisions at a time when Singapore was in a mess. And thank God for him. I don't know about you, I thank God for Lee Kuan Yew. Because he swing things when we had no resources. I'm sure you have. But you know what? As much as he has done so much for Singapore and one of the top 100 men, I think, in the world, you know my concern for him? What if he dies and go to hell? What if he dies and go to hell? Our Christian race is important. It's important. The first thing you need to actually understand is our Savior, the first step in getting into race is by trusting Jesus as your personal Savior. He changes things in your life so that they can help you to get your race going. Okay, firstly, have you trusted Jesus? That's the first thing I'd like you to know. Okay? 5 strategies for running. Right? If you're writing notes, please follow along. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. First strategy that you need to understand. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24, Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize." What did Paul say? So run that ye might obtain. That was an instruction by Paul. Run in order to win the prize. Point number one, run with the prize in mind. First strategy, run with a goal, run with the prize in mind. And you know, as I was preparing this, I know what I'm going to preach for in the next 2 Sundays. Run with the prize in mind. What does that mean? How many of you as Christians know that there are rewards for you in heaven when you run the race? Someone put out your hand. We know, yes. How many of you know specifically which crown are you going after? When you're running the race, it's not just, oh, I'm just going to get reward. No, it's a crown. And there are 5 crowns. Okay, those who have gone for the second coming, I went through the 5 crowns. Can you remember the 5 crowns? What are the 5 crowns? Anyone? 5 crowns. What are the 5 crowns? Anyone? What? Sorry? Crown of life. Crown of life is for people who go through trials and temptations and are obedient even to the point of death. Okay? Revelation 2 verse 10. The Bible says, "Without faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." That's what Jesus told them. What else? Sorry? Crown of righteousness. What is the crown of righteousness? Those who love the return of Christ and live their lives in holiness in preparation for the righteous. Henceforth, there is laid out for me the crown of righteousness with the crown of with the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not to me only, but to also to all those who love his appearing. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10. What are the crowns? Some more? The incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I run. What the Bible says here. Verse 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. The crown refers to the fact that we will discipline our Christian life. Do you realize that if you discipline your Christian life to live for Jesus Christ, you receive the incorruptible crown? There's 2 more. What else? I'm getting a bit tough. The soul winner's crown. The crown of rejoicing. Where for people who faithfully go out, win souls. Winning souls. Who in their whatever vocation, they're always telling people about Jesus Christ. There's one more crown. What's the last crown? The last crown is only the pastors get it. The shepherd's crown. All right? The shepherd's crown. 1 Peter chapter 5. It's a pastor that faithfully served the Lord be an example to the flock. God will give me a shepherd's crown. You need to pray for pray for your pastor, because why? Many pastors are falling by the wayside. I'm determined by God's grace not to. But you know, I can't do it myself. I need your prayers. I need you to surround me with prayer and love. So that, by God's grace, I'll be able to give that back, so together we'll grow. Okay, so those are five crowns. We need to run with the price in mind. Some people would think that it's covetous that we think about the price when you're running, right? Some people say, I don't want to think about reward, I just serve Jesus. God says, run with the price in mind. God says, I want every Olympic athlete have one goal. Literally, he has one goal, G-O-A-L, is to get the gold. G-O-L-D, yes? They won the Olympic gold. What's the point of training? We need to run. Christians, do you realize that you need to run with the price in mind? I think many Christians don't have a goal in the Christian life. You just live your life. Can I ask you to run to win the prize? Number one. And to run with the prize in mind, number one, to win the prize. You need to run, number one, to win the prize, number two, to win God's approval. In Matthew chapter 25, let's turn there. Matthew 25. Not just to win the prize, but to win God's approval. Matthew 25, verse 21. Let's read that together, right? Try to finish. Matthew 25, 21. Ready? 1, 2, go. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well done, thou good. The word good means profitable. You are good because you are profitable. You're good and you are faithful. Faithful means I can trust you. I can trust you. You know, when I was a platoon commander, one of the things I really, and all of this platoon, I really appreciated the platoon commander before me, the way he trained this platoon. I had a platoon sergeant. Platoon sergeant is supposed to take care of the so-called logistical administration of the platoon. And so when I went for instructions from the higher HQ, I came back and said, Sergeant, come, can you please go and get the people ready? I said, sir, done ready. Huh? I haven't told you. Don't worry, sir, SOP, everyone knows one. And you know, true enough, I was to find out, I inherited the best platoon in the battalion. They were top. And you could depend on the platoon sergeant. When I was injured, the platoon sergeant took care of everything. Thank God, I could trust him. Can God trust us with his work? When God gave you a task, now I thank God for the man, the brother June, took care of everything for the watch night. You know, I thank God for brother Desmond, took care of everything for Christmas service. Driving, Brother Joshua, Brother Denzel took care of that. The cleaning, I don't have to worry. Why? Those people took care of that. Why? Faithful men. No, all of us need to be like that. In order not to win men's approval, but God's approval. Well done, the good and faithful servant. That's number one. Number two, we need to run with discipline. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Let me just read there. 25 to 27. Everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. And Paul says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, a lot of words, what does it mean? It simply means, Paul says, look, when a person is striving for the mastery, the word mastery means he's striving. The word strive means to put in a lot of effort. The mastery means to overcome. How many of you have bad habits that you're struggling with? Put up your hands. Me too. Okay? Paul says, you are to put in your striving to master them. Does that make sense? Every man that is striving to win over have to put in that effort. Have to put in that effort. What kind of discipline is Paul talking about? What discipline do you think Paul is talking about? Self-discipline. Self-discipline. Four areas. Number one, notice some details about this discipline. It is a struggle. The word strive means exert, it strains. It's a struggle between the old man and new man. It's a struggle to say, should I go to church camp or not? Should I go to youth camp or not? Should I travel up and down because of the lamps or not? Should I come to church or not? I'm tired, should I do this or not? Like what our brother mentioned, that show me a person who is able to make decisions based on the word of God or based on the world, he'll show you what kind of Christian that person is. The struggle. It is a Christians, if you don't struggle in your decision-making, something is wrong. Some of you I know, Brother Song Ling just shared today, he had to struggle between giving him a punch in the face or, no, I want to be Christ-like. No, it's tough. But Paul says, look, no, Paul was taken advantage of. Yeah, people wanted to kill him. No, Paul still preached to them. It was a struggle. This discipline, it is a struggle. It is a battle to overcome. It is a battle that you need to overcome. Number two part of this self-discipline, it requires self-control in all aspects of your life. Notice it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery, that struggles to overcome, is temperate in all things. The word temperate means self-control in all things. The word all things means every area of your life. Every single, the way you think, the way you feel, the words you use, the things you do, and especially the things you do when no one is watching. I like Pastor John here, you know, sometimes we feel that maybe you go on the internet, right, and then after you see, you look, maybe you are tempted by this website, then you look here, you look there, you look there, you look at the back, no one. And Pastor John here said, why don't you also do this? You need to look up, because God is always there watching you. Yes? Proverbs 15 verse 3, the eyes, the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You need to be self-controlled. In other words, when no one is watching, what Brother Song Ling is feeling in his heart, he knows God's watching. Amen? And I said, no, I cannot give in to my anger. God help me. I need to show the love of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm too tired to go to church today. But I want to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I know it's hard sometimes for teens and the younger people too, because you're so tired. After I talk about something which is really, really, it blows your mind. But it requires self-control in all aspects of life. And this is interesting. When Paul talks about temperance, there are two things in the Greek athlete that they always talk about. You need to control your food and you need to control your lustful desires. A Greek athlete, I was just Googling and find how do Greeks prepare themselves for marathon or those athletes? There are two things that they are to be very disciplined and strict on. Number one, they have to be very strict on their diet as an athlete. Right? And that goes without saying. Number two, they are not to engage in any physical relationships before the race. Do you know that? That is an absolute no-no. And the idea is to control yourself and focus on what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to win the race. You have to abstain. Nothing else matters except the race. You are self-controlled. That was the background of this particular... They are to abstain from unwholesome food, wine, and physical indulgence. In everything that caters to ourselves, our lusts, our pleasures, when we have these things that are taught, such as hand-holding, for them, no, they're not supposed to have any physical contact with anyone. They're supposed to run the race. No, I'm not. No, the men and ladies are not supposed to get involved before the race. And in a training period, no, not supposed to get involved. Very strict. Why? Because they have the race to run. They have the race to run. And the standards of biblical living were endeavoring for us to win the incorruptible crown. And as I studied, I began to realize why we need standards, because we are striving for the incorruptible crown. That God says, I want you to discipline your life for my glory in running the race. That one day when we stand before God, God, I've abstained myself because I want to honor you. And then it requires single-mindedness. Look at verse 26. Remember, we're running with discipline. In verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, So fight I not as one that beateth the air. You know, beateth the air means shadow boxing. You know, sometimes those boxers, they just beat the air. Paul says, I don't do that. I have a target. My target is to win the crown. What is the target in your Christian life, Brother Timothy Toriano? Is your Christian life to honor Christ? What about you, Brother Joshua Poon? What about you, Uncle Roland? What about me, Pastor Johnny? Is my life, do I have a fixed goal that at the end of the day, when I stand before Jesus Christ, Lord, all I have done is for you. My heart, my mind, my words, my action is all centered on one thing. I'm single-minded to glorify God. In everything. In the courses that you will choose in university, after your O-levels, Mr. Ellison, when you look at what course, which JC or wherever, is that, Lord, will I glorify you in that? Single-mindedness. Many Christians are double-minded. You know how I know? They want one foot in Jesus Christ and one foot in the world. You know what happens? Jesus Christ will always go this way. The world will always go this way. You know what happened? Your pants will split after a while.
You will fall into the water.
You know what many Christians like to do that? Why? What about Desmond? Remember, what does the world really have to offer us? What does the world really have to offer us? Sin? They don't even have to offer. We already have the sinful nature. You know what Jesus offers us? Eternal life, holiness, intact family, strong Christian values that will last to the next generation. We need to be sick. With a focus in mind, I'm very clear. I need to win the race. And then another point under this, it requires self-denial. To run with discipline in verse 27, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You know what it means? Brother Joshua, can you help me this? Can you help me? Let's pretend Brother Joshua is my flesh. The Bible says, I keep under my body means, keep under my body, he's my flesh. Okay? And he's trying to fight me, okay? He's trying to fight me. He's trying to fight me. No, flesh, you listen to me. Okay? Okay? The flesh is a... Sorry. No. Hello? Can you hear? No? Is the battery dislodged? Oh, okay. Thank you. Oh, hello? Hello? Is it okay? Is it working? Okay, good. Okay. Now, let's try again. The Bible says, I keep under my body literally. You know what bringing into subjection means? I won't hear you too bad, really. I keep under my body. Okay, just go down. And bring into subjection. You know, you listen to me. You know, I bring him into my subjection. The flesh no longer should control me. Thank you. In other words, when I'm tired, flesh keep quiet, I'm going to church. When I'm sleepy, flesh quiet, I'm going to church. I don't care. I will stand up in service. I have to. I eat a meal. If I have to wash my face, put ice, put toothpick in my eyes to stay awake for the message, I will. Flesh, I don't want to listen to you. That's what it means. It literally, in the Greek, means to beat my body black and blue. Bringing it into subjection. Not many Christians let their flesh control them. The flesh... Many Christians, because of discouragement, the flesh destroys them. Paul says, not me. I'm disciplined. I... the flesh. Next time when you don't want to get up to go to church... Punch the alarm clock. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to church. I'm going to show love to my brethren. I like that. That's why I say it's very good. But that's what Paul says. I bring my body. Say, after I become a Christian, my flesh don't control me. I control my flesh through the power of the Spirit of God. By the way, only God can help you control the flesh. You can't. And that's why don't try to stand against sin. Submit yourself to God. And let God's Spirit, His Word, control you, and then you can defeat your flesh. You need to run with self-discipline. Point number three, you need to run with fear. Time is slipping up. I don't want to miss it. Oh, no. Run with fear that we will be disapproved. Look at verse number 27. Lest that by any means When I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. We need to run with the fear that we may be disapproved by God. You know, one of the greatest fear I have that after I've touched people's life, that Jesus Christ will find one thing in my life. Say, Brother Johnny, no, Brother Johnny, of course. Johnny, I've been telling you for 20 years to deal with that. You've been hiding that. I'm sorry. The ministry is disapproved. Remember Lance Armstrong? Won 7 Tour de France, one of the toughest bicycling courses in the world. In 2012, he was stripped of all his 7 medals. Why? For doping. You know, doping for using illicit drugs and performance-enhancing drugs. 7 Tour de France. He battled cancer and came back. But yeah, over the years, he won 7 Tour de France, but 2010, he was accused. 2012, he was charged, convicted, and all his medals, 7, were all taken away from him because of one thing, doping. Doping. There was another man, Ed Mitchell, bright boy, scored good well for his O and A levels in his time. He was one of the, listen, Reuters, if I'm not wrong, is supposed to be one of the very famous news agency, right? Reuters. He was one of the 6 out of 8,000 applicants to make it to that news. You know, when he was young, about 22, his career was great. Fast forward 50 years old, he was broken, he was bankrupt, he owed over $250,000, pounds in debt, or more than $500,000 Singapore dollars in debt. And when he was interviewed, you know what his problem? He took the first drink. He became an alcoholic. He became an alcoholic who couldn't hold down a job. Now, he was very bright, but because of one problem in his life, it destroyed his entire life. I don't know about you. Is there a sin in your life that you are just quietly holding on to? It will disqualify your entire ministry. Did you know that? T.T. Duray, we all know the famous story. A lot of people actually said that he did a lot of good through fundraising and trying. But because he had some extravagances, and when he was audited, he was found guilty, now you don't hear the name anymore. What about you? After all that you're trying to do, because of one thing, is it worth it? That's why Paul says, I, my flesh, beat it black and blue. Get out of my life. Why? Because when I stand before Jesus, I don't want to be disapproved. I don't want to be disapproved. And then I'll just move on because there's not enough time, but I just want to say one thing. When you stand before Jesus Christ, that sin will be exposed just like that. Remember Peter when he denied Jesus 3 times? He said, I don't know, to the point that he even cursed. The moment the cock crew, Jesus looked at him, he looked at Jesus, and that was the end of the story. Peter went on and broke down. I heard an evangelist John Convert says, the moment we stand in front of Jesus Christ and look straight into his eyes, he don't have to say anything. Everything will be exposed. My hypocrisy will be as clear as day. Your sin will be as clear as day. All we can do before Christ is, Lord, I should have gotten rid of it. You know what? We can do it now. Don't wait until that day. We need to run with that fear that we will be disapproved. Do all you can. Guys, get that sin out of your life. We need to run unhindered. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Okay, we're moving on. Just Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We need to run unhindered. The Greek athletes, when they ran the marathon in the first century, run without any clothes. I'm not encouraging you to do that today. Okay? Some of the athletes today in some of the Olympics, they really dress very skimpily, right? You know why? They're not talking about modesty. I want to win the race. Back in the times, the Greeks, the first marathon and all that kind of thing, when they run, the runners ran without anything on. Why? It's not because they want to show off. It's because they only have one thing in mind. I want nothing to hinder me from winning the race. Does that make sense? And so Paul says two things, weights. It may not be sin, but if internet and Facebook and soccer and Premier League, if you talk about it all the time to the point that you forget about your duties and responsibilities, that become a weight. And it will slow you down in your Christian life. Sin, the Bible is very clear, sin will slow anyone down. Or if you are a Christian and running a race, all the devil wants you to do is sprain your ankle. How many of you have very painful sprained ankles before? I remember I had when I played basketball, and there was one time, only three or four minutes in the game, when I landed, you know, it's like that, I land on the person's leg, and I didn't know it was a fracture. Only 10 years later, the MO said, you had a fracture in your ankle. I said, no, I didn't know. All the devil wants you to have is a spring in your Christian life. And some people, that spring can last a long time. The spring can come in the form of discouragement, can come in the form of whatever. You know what? As a runner, I don't care. I'm going forward. You need to run unhindered. And lastly, we need to run with Christ as our example. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who initiated us into the Christian, because we trusted Him. He gave us life, the author. And He's the one who's going to finish our faith. Amen? He's the one who's going to lead us through. He's the one who's going to tell us this is the way to run. And all we have to do is to follow Him. You know, the Bible says in verse 2, who for the joy that was set before Him. You know what He was doing? He was running with a price in mind. Does that make sense? Who for the joy that was set before Him. You know what's that joy? One day Lex will become a Christian. One day Ethan will live for Jesus Christ. One day Sister Agnes will live and lead someone to Christ. One day Catherine will join and become a Christian. Who for the joy? The joy refers to the fact when Jesus cried down on the cross, he was thinking of Johnny. He was thinking of Brother Rolando. Who for the joy? When I die, I suffer, never mind, it's okay. Rolando is going to trust Christ. That's for him. Who for the joy that was set before him? Because there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And when one person comes to Jesus Christ, know what Jesus says? My death is worth it. He was living with the price in mind. He endured the cross. He had self-discipline. When people punched him, he didn't fight back. The Bible says he was meek as a lamb. He was as a lamb led to the slaughter. He's silent. The Lord Jesus didn't utter a word as people ridiculed him. He had discipline, self-discipline. Despising the shame, he ran unhindered. He didn't care what people say about him. If you read the account of Jesus' suffering, the Bible says that his visage was more marred, Isaiah 53, more than any man. That means he was beaten beyond belief. He was hardly recognizable as a human being. When you realize that he didn't care, you say, I'm not going to allow the pain to stop me from fulfilling the joy. I want to see people coming to my Father. And he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. He was approved. Does that make sense? He had a goal in mind. He ran with self-discipline. He ran unhindered. He was approved by God. He sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. And the next time you want to give up the faith, in verse 3, in Hebrews 12, consider him. Consider him. Think about what Jesus went through and make your decision. Running strategies for 2014, Christian, run with a price in mind. If you don't have a goal for your Christian life, two goals I give you, run for the crowns God will give you and run to please God. Number 2, run with discipline. In other words, some things have to go from your life, Christians. Some things have to go. Some things have to be added into your Christian lives. Run with fear that you will be disapproved. I don't know about Leandra and Timothy is over already, or Allison, and some of you, when you face the O levels, the result's not here. Your heart beating already. Why? Or when you're writing your GP or your O level English, you know that I'm lousy at English. And some people actually faint because they cannot take the stress, because they're facing the test. This test is going to determine what's going to happen to them. We need to run with that kind of fear. That one day when we stand before Jesus Christ, God will say, wicked and slothful servant. No, we want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Christians, you need to run with that fear that you will be disapproved, like Paul did. And then run unhindered. Get rid of every sin. Sin, yes, it's pleasurable, but sin doesn't help you, does it? It does not. Why indulge in it? Satan will deceive you that is good, but put it away and then run with Christ as our example. Now, I hope you all will take this in mind, because 2014 will be very challenging individually as a Christian and also as a church.